Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for listening to the show. We are on each and every week. We're on a number of different stations. We're all over. We're going to add some. And we're also on podcasts. We do a great podcast. We'll give you all this information about where to find us and how to find us later on in the show. I'm Jeff Barton, as I said, the Mortgage Voice, and we're on a weekly, actually a couple, three times a week, depending on the station that we're on. And the podcast, of course, you can pick up everywhere. YouTube is a good place, podclips.io. All of these things are relevant to how you can get this mortgage information to you as quickly as possible on your particular, you know, whatever it is that you're listening to. This has been an interesting week in that business opportunities at this time when we see rising interest rates, how this affects your ability to get out there and borrow money, and what is on the forecast for the next 3 months, at least towards the end of the year, when we will see probably rates rise quickly and then last a long time. What I mean by that is that we're currently, let's see these rates. Okay, so the 30-year fixed rate today is 3.25%. It wasn't 6 weeks ago that that number was 2.75%, 2.85%. And that's a pretty rapid rise, right, in 6 weeks. We're going to see that at the end of the year, too. So we're probably more likely to see 3.50, 3.75 in December, January, in that area. And that will stay that way probably through most of the year. Reason is that, and it is already happening, what they call pricing in, meaning that we see, obviously, rates rising. And there are several reasons for it, but mostly because the Fed is going to stop buying mortgage-backed securities, and they're going to stop buying bonds. They have been buying to $120 billion a month, what they call quantitative easing, or financial stimulus because of the pandemic. However you wrap it, it is the same thing. The government is purchasing government debt, and that has kept rates where they are. Well, that's going to start what they call the taper. Tapering, which happened, you know, a decade ago, is now happening again. And we will buy, rather than $120 billion a month, we'll probably get down to 110, and then, you know, the next Fed meeting get down to 100, and it'll probably go down like that, $10, $20 billion per cycle. So that in a year from now, we'll be, you know, borrowing or buying a lot less. And that's the main reason why interest rates will rise. But at the same time, because the market prices that in, meaning that the interest rates are already where they're going to be because of the taper. So that's why we will see this long stretch where not a lot happens on the interest rates. And we will see, you know, a range, right? Everybody talks about the range. And we can talk about the range too. And the how we talk about the range is we look at the 10-year bond. The 10-year bond is currently trading at 1.62. If you go back 6 months ago and look at where the bonds were, the trading range for the last 6 months has been really just under 1 point to 1.62. So it's, you know, a point, three quarters of a point in terms of the spread, and that's what the range is. And we will also see that in the mortgage interest rates. Now, all of this technical talk about interest rates, what does it mean to you? You're trying to buy a house, you're fixed income, you're trying to buy a house, you're moving into a new job, you're trying to pay off your student loans, you're trying to get the best interest rate because it's beat into your head from whenever you start looking that the interest rate is the most important thing out there when you're looking at getting a loan. And it is true that you have to pay the monthly because the ability to repay rule states that you have to prove you can pay this particular mortgage interest rate for 360 months, which is normal term on a 30-year fixed rate loan, which most of these Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac products, that's what they price to. They don't price to the 7-1 arm, which is basically the low interest rate for a fixed period and then adjustable after that. That's a whole different pricing structure. This is where we price your loan. So if you're looking for that loan, you have to make sure that whatever the interest rate is today, that's what your loan is going to be locked in, priced at for 360 payments. Now, nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody can see beyond 3 or 5 years. But the ability to repay rule always states that we do our best efforts to figure that out. And when we figure that out, you're going to be the one who is on the hook for the loan. But for the most part, the bank did the due diligence to be able to say, hey, we did what we could do. Then they sell it off to Fannie and Freddie on all types of government loans as well as the Fannie and Freddie products. So that's why it's important to look at what this interest rate is going to be in 6 months. There's a lot of people listening to my voice who are saying, I'm not ready yet. Now, I know the millennials of you out there who are saying, oh, no, I've been ready. There's no product to buy. That's something that has changed dramatically in the last 3.5-4 weeks. And what do I mean by that? As we see interest rates rise, we have seen a slowdown, which is traditionally this time of year is the slowdown anyway. So that in combination with the interest rates rising, especially the way it's currently being priced in already, before the taper happened, it's already priced in. We're looking at 3.25%, not 2.75. And we might see 3.75 by the end of the year. But again, that's being priced in currently. So if you're thinking about, oh, I got to get in now because interest rates may rise, understand that how the market really works is we are way ahead of where the Fed is when we price your loan today. We're pricing for this particular rise. And as the market adjusts to the new pricing, which will happen, you know, like I say, the Federal Open Market Committee meeting, which will gather in November, and they will price into the loans what is already being seen in the pricing at 3.25%. So you have time. It will rise again, but we will see probably south of 4% through June or July of next year. And as taper happens at a slow, steady pace, i.e., the Fed will stop buying mortgage-backed securities and treasuries at the tune of $120 billion, and maybe in 6 months we will be at $80 billion, it will be priced in 6-8 weeks before that happens. So every time there's a Federal Open Market Committee meeting, whatever it is, FOMC, you will see the price adjusted a little bit. But as I said, I don't think we're going to get past 4% within the next year unless certain things happen. Those certain things happening, we will try to get to further on down into the show. And we've got some great guests, some oldies but goodies, and some new people come on the show. So let's get to the interest rates. We teased it a little bit. 3.25% is the 30-year fixed rate. 2.62 is the 15. 2.85 is FHA. 3.18 is the jumbo. And 3.13 is the 5-1 ARM. The 10-year is at 1.62. That's the 10-year treasury. And that's where we were really looking at one of the other main indicators, along with the tapering, will be this 10-year. What is the 10-year trading at? If the 10-year is trading at a certain number, well, that means that interest rates are going to rise. And what is that number? It's greater than it is today in terms of the yield that you're going to get if you invest in 10-year treasuries. You buy the coupon at a certain price, and you get back a certain price. Buying low and getting a higher return on your treasuries, that indicates that we will see a rise in interest rates as well. But we've been pretty steady and pretty normalized in terms of how the 10-year is affecting the rate, even though we've had taper artificially holding, not taper, but obviously the Fed buying all those mortgage-backed securities and treasuries, artificially holding down rates. Rates is an issue, but it isn't going to be a surprise to you if you pay attention to those two factors, the taper and the 10-year. You will be on top of it. A couple other things quickly. I want to get into what's happening in China and why that is important to you, and especially with the economy broader than necessarily the interest rate, but obviously the broader economy, the job you're in, how that's affected by what's going on there is extremely important as the U.S. dragged the world into the last recession because the mortgages were so terrible. China's having the same issue. So I want to get that a little bit, talk some about Zillow and what they're doing and not doing to help you into a house or out of a house. It's all this iBuyer stuff. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. I really appreciate you listening to the show today, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in. Thanks for listening to the show each and every week. We bring to you information about what's going on in the loan industry, what's going on with your loan, especially if you've got a difficult loan, if you're doing a non-QM loan, if you're doing, you know, anything outside of the normal Freddie Fannie stuff. All of these things we talk about on the show. We enjoy doing it, and we also enjoy bringing to you experts from all over the country to talk about programs, to talk about their experiences as either professionals, as loan officers. We've had decorators on the show, plumbers and contractors, and anything having to do with real estate and loans. Most of the things which are discovered in a inspection affect the value of your home. If an appraiser goes out there and they're doing an FHA loan, a certain number of things have to be in the appraisal report in order for that loan to be done and insured by FHA. As everyone knows, an FHA loan is a loan that has no credit requirement and also has a certain insurance that goes along with it that the borrower pays. So these two things combined means that all kinds of people can get that loan. Within the appraisal report, you're going to see how is the plumbing? What's the roof like? Do we see any issues with the foundation? Normally, the appraiser sees what they see and evaluates based on the comps in the area. FHA is a little bit different. These are all things that the experts that come to the show share with you. FHA usually has a great interest rate. On top of that, of course, is the mortgage insurance premium. But, yeah. As I said, these are the experts we bring to the show, and these are the kind of people that we want to have you have interaction with. If you see or hear something that you like on the show, there are a number of different ways that you can get in touch with me, at Jeff6493. That's my Twitter handle. You can, let's see, what's another place you can go? You go to YouTube and watch the show, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. We shoot all of these shows, these radio shows, hundreds of them for the last several years that are there. You can go to LinkedIn. You can go to Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, or MalibuFunding.net. You can go to my website, which that's the company that employs me and also sponsors this show. And you can get, I don't know, 40, 50 different loan officers there that you can also talk to. Got hit with a malware scam the other day. So be careful out there when you are searching and opening yourself up to all that stuff. The security is a big issue in the mortgage industry. And the reason is because we have a lot of different information that we get from you, and we need to secure and make sure that information is secure. The information that we get is always secured, not only password protected, but it's encrypted. It's on a cloud-based system. And all of the origination that we send either to a lender or are invested is the same. It's part of the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act. As everyone knows, that's about privacy. It's about maintaining security. And even to get licensed, you need to have and prove that you have a plan to deal with it. And, yeah, we do, obviously. Okay, let's talk some about Zillow. Zillow is a huge company that everybody goes to. Anybody that wants to sell their house, first place they go is Zillow. One of the reasons I don't like Zillow is because they overestimate by probably 10% the value of your home. So if, like most people, you go to where people are telling you your home is worth more, you like Zillow. One of the things they did about 3 years ago was to begin to sell houses. Those of us in the real estate industry do not like that. It's more competition from a particular company that is really supposed to be an aggregate of information. Sharon? Oh, our guest has arrived. 1 second and we will get her on. Sharon? She hung up. Oh, okay. Well, as everyone hears, things in the radio world are fluid and things in terms of, and you can see we're live, obviously. If we had the dog here running around and barking, that'd be awesome too. So maybe this is her. Let's all hold our breath. Oh, man. Hey, Sharon.
Hey, Jeff.
Great. Excellent. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just was consulting with a customer. I'm doing great.
Excellent. Okay, so as we are recording now live here, this is Sharon Mouton. She is with Groves Capital, a lender locally in Southern California, and she joins us as the expert as what's happening in the marketplace. And as I already asked her how she was, she said, great. So, Sharon, give us a quick update on what's happening in Southern California.
Well, okay, what's happening in Southern California? California, the market continues to be strong as far as purchases. We do expect the refinance market to drop off at about 50%.
Right.
Unless somebody really has need, like to consolidate debt or, you know,
right,
pay off bills or whatever. So that part of the market we expect to drop off. We do expect the, they're expecting the rate to increase slightly, and I am starting to see that now as I price out my purchase loans. I'm starting to see a little bit of increase over that 2.875 mark where we were before.
Right.
Right now you're going to have to probably buy that down. So I do see some movement upwards in that area.
Hey, Sharon.
That you guys should know is that appreciation is slowing down month over month. It's slowing down at about to 1.2%. So the amount of appreciation that we were seeing maybe, like a month or two ago where everything was appreciation by 18% and we were getting, you know, multiple offers on home bids and it was getting really crazy, that has slowed down significantly. So we're kind of getting into... we're not going to get into a bubble market, and that's another conversation, but we're trying. Right. We're starting to do a market where it's not so insane of people making, bidding over offers of the property that they wish to purchase. That's coming down year over year.
Okay.
The new sales, the new home sales are up at about 14%. It's stronger than what they anticipated, what they expected. But year-over-year, sales are down, which we all know what happened in 2020,
right,
which kind of took us down from where we were in 2019 when the sales of the market was up about 14%. So in California, I'm not sure where you guys are. I think, you're in California, Jeff?
Yeah, we're here in Southern California as well, absolutely.
Oh, I'm in Southern California. So the medium, as you guys know, the medium home price, not in L.A. County, outside of L.A. County, has increased to about $409,000. So that's going to be about your medium home sale price in our area, and that's up about 19% from where it was.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Do you see much resistance from people who are used to having rates continue to go down when they're...
Yes, and I'll tell you, I'm glad you asked. Because I'm having a conversation with the customer right now that we went into contract for a purchase.
Right.
And he's new, first-time home buyer, pretty healthy, a purchase condo in West Hollywood. And I just had to, this discussion with him. He had applications out there with maybe about 5-10 lenders.
Oh,
and
my.
I said, it doesn't make me excited to work with you.
Yeah. Really?
But he's shopping, he's rate shopping. And I said, there's no, you know, I explained to him the what it means to rate shop.
Right.
And what it means to lock a loan. But he's accepting, and it reminds you he's purchasing a condo, so you're going to take a hit on a rate anyway for a condo. So he is looking for something around a 2.875.
Well, that's a good look.
Our discussion was, okay, if you want, we have a slew of lenders that we can look at for the best rate. But if you want that rate, you're going to have to buy it down.
Right.
So that's his position. As a first-time home buyer, and I hope this word gets out to your audience that is doing a first-time home buyer, is I would encourage you to, if you're going to shop maybe 3 lenders and do it over the phone.
Right.
But get with an experience loan officer, not someone that's hungry and transactional, because that's what we had during the pandemic.
Yep.
We had a lot of loan officers that were just selling rates. You want 2.2, I got it over here. I got, like an auction. So we're no longer in that environment. We're in an environment where you really have to be diverse. And if I can't, if you can't get a loan, if you can't qualify for a loan, or if something comes up on the conventional side, which is where you're going to get usually premium rates, then that loan officer has to know how to switch you to a different product.
Right.
And that loan officer has to be able to switch you to that product in order for you to purchase the property you want, and it could be a temporary give or whatever. And, you know, so yep. whatever you have to do to get in that property, if that's your goal, then do it. But it would behoove your anyone that's listening to me that's a first-time home buyer. Shop three lenders if you like. But if we're selling to Fannie and Freddie, those are the investors that we sell to on a conventional loan, then we pretty much are going to get the same results everywhere else. And banks typically will have an overlay over their your underwriting approvals on desktop. Brokers, we don't use those. Most lenders that I work with, we don't have those overlays. We take what to use that.
Well, it's, so, yeah. I mean, struggles with borrowers who are seeing a rise in rates has to be offset by the fact that we see also a rise in inventory somewhat, right?
Yes, of course. And that's another good thing is that we're starting to see more sellers are selling homes. I mean, the borrower that I'm working with now literally got his offer accepted on Sunday.
Okay.
So on Monday, I had the contract. So literally, he went looking Thursday. I referred him to the realtor. They went looking Thursday. Their offer was put in Friday and got accepted over the weekend.
Oh, that's unheard of lately. Yeah, right. I said that's unheard of lately because of the competition out there. There's usually multiple offers. So
Yes. I was really surprised. I'm like, what? Is that accepted? Yeah. So it was, you know, and a lot has to do, again, with your realtor, too.
Yep.
I knew this realtor that I referred the client to. I knew he would perform. I knew he knew how to network to do what he needed to do to get it done. But I've actually had three offers come in to me on Monday.
Huh. Excellent.
So another client, we did a pre-approval like maybe a month ago, and he was looking, but he found a house that he wanted, but he found it pretty quick without, you know, going through multiple offers, without me, I mean, a few months ago, I was having to call listing agents to tell a story about the borrower, to do this or whatever, but that's not the case right now, so...
Yep.
Yes, Jeff, I think we are looking up on the inventory.
Sharon, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. I want to do it again when we have a fuller time on the slot. We're up against it. Can you shout out a way by which people can get a hold of a terrific loan officer like yourself?
Yes, my name is Sharon Moten. My number is 310-420-3256. My email address is smoten@growthcapital.com. I've been in the industry for over 20 years. I was in the industry when we went through that horrific bubble. I was an account executive back then for an old company called World Savings, if anyone you guys remember, but I've been in it. I'm very passionate about what I do. I love teaching. I love training. And if I don't get the business, it's okay. As long as you get the property or you're satisfied with whatever you're trying to do with your mortgages or whatever. But I'm here to train if you have questions. But if you have your preferred lender, that's okay as well.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Again, we'll do it soon. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
Excellent. That's Sharon Moten from Groves Capital. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in, listening to the show. We bring to you definitely great people on a daily, weekly. On the daily, we are on LinkedIn, Facebook, a number of social media, Instagram. We're certainly going to try to hit on TikTok. I love that whole medium. But anyway, the expert we're going to bring to you today right now, Charles Giscombe, who is a manager and also a terrific loan officer for Malibu Funding. Malibu Funding is the company that sponsors this show and my employer. I really appreciate him coming on the show. Talk a little bit about what's going on in Nevada, what's going on in some other places that he does terrific business, as well as growth strategies for the mortgage industry. Charles, how are you?
Good, Jeff. I am great, Jeff. Thanks for having me, as always.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's get right to a few things. I don't know if you've been following what's going on in China, but with Evergrande and some of the obviously large companies that are having difficulties paying their debts, I guess there's 30 or 40 of them currently that are in that pool, and China's experiencing kind of what we did about a decade, 13 years ago, where they have overbuilt, they have overassessed, and they've got a lot of units that are just sitting around going, you know, unused, and companies that can't pay their debt. How do you think that, and the only reason I bring it up, because I wanted to see if you think that there's any effect of that here locally, because the world economy is so intertwined.
It very much is intertwined. And I think that anything that happens over there, especially China being a powerhouse, is going to have some effect eventually over here. I do believe that I think see things lightening up on our side over here. Obviously, the market is still busy and still moving. But what I'm hearing is that people are now beginning to see the prices shift off a little bit and low a little bit, and we're able to get in. I think that the economy all across the board always affects one another. So I can't say that it's directly affected, but indirectly, Jeff, I absolutely do believe that is going to affect our market. And in return for buyers, it'll help us.
Well, that's right. No, it's a dual purpose here, right? Obviously, investors are going to get nervous if people can't pay their bills across the world because, as I said, money is money and capital, wherever it lies, if it's more expensive or more difficult to get, it's because risk has risen. However, that's going to mean more inventory on the market. Prices might fall.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, okay.
You said it better right there, Jeff.
Okay. Sure. Where are you doing most of your loans? What type of loans are you doing? I know there's a huge non-QM sector growing in this country, 25% of the loans doing non-QM. Tell us a little bit about that sector and what's happening in your business.
Well, non-QM loans, obviously were like a unicorn maybe 8 to 10 years ago, Jeff. Obviously, they were out there. You were hearing about them. There wasn't too many banks or investors that were purchasing these loans, providing resource or financing for them. But now, like you said, 25% of the loans done in the industry are non-QM loans. And those are, for people who don't know, those are non-qualified mortgages. Those are mortgages that are less strict in the guidelines and provide alternative sources or ways and structure for individuals to qualify. I'm seeing a great uptick in it. I have a number of different individuals that would have normally always gone the traditional route, now going non-QM. Non-QM used to be for individuals who could not provide traditional Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie Mae structure.
Right.
But that's not the case now, Jeff. What I'm seeing now is individuals who actually do can go full box are saying, because of these kind of products and the flexibility that non-QM products have to deal with, especially when you're doing a loan over 80% and none of the non-QM loans have mortgage insurance, I'm seeing more full-doc qualified individuals transition over to non-QM loans because they don't want to have to pay that additional $200, $300, $400, $500, especially if it's a big house, on mortgage insurance. So I'm seeing a lot more of that, not just individuals who can't qualify structure-wise.
Interesting. Who buys these loans? Now, we know Fannie and Freddie, the hugeness of it. I talk about it on the show all the time and how you qualify what they call the QM loan. The non-QM simply means that Fannie and Freddie aren't buying them. But who is buying these loans?
Private investors, private funding, hedge funding. And what has happened is normally, Jeff, they're taking these loans in because they have a comfort level. It used to be yet 30 or 40% down. Now, because these loans are so frequently done on the market now, and 25% of the industry loans are now non-QM loans, what's happening now is that they're raising the LTV. They're saying now you only have to put 10% down. Mm-hmm. At one point, there were some people and some private funding that were saying we'll take a 5% non-QM loan. Now, ever since COVID, that's dropped back down, but we're still back up to 90 consistently. 90% LTV, bank statements. 12 to 24 months, or in some cases, 3 months of bank statements will get you 10% down, 90% LTV, no mortgage insurance with that kind of interest rate. That is an amazing loan, and you can credit that to these private private funds, these hedge funds, all these different individuals, companies that are interested in this market. And eventually, they will be able to be sold in the secondary market. And that's a whole other conversation, and I'm quite sure a whole other episode, Jeff.
Yeah, no, I agree with that completely. The money that you need in the deal, you're saying, is as low as 10%, which is unbelievable. What kind of credit scores are they looking at, or are they looking at credit scores?
Yeah, they're looking at credit scores. Usually you can get into the prime rate. Obviously, 700 FICO scores open up the platinum program.
Okay.
But, Jeff, as low as the credit score is 640, you can get in.
Right.
You can get this loan done at 90% LTV. And even if they hit you 85% LTV for a non-QM loan, Jeff, still getting you interest rates in the mid to low fours, and in some cases down into the high threes, that's amazing.
You know, I talk about what's going on in China as a replay of what happened here, in some respects, 13 years ago. The loans that are currently, we're talking about, these non-QM loans, have nothing to do with what they called subprime back in the day. Those situations, explain the difference and why this isn't happening again because of non-QM.
For non-QM, you're still having to show your ability to repay. You're still having to credit qualify. You're still having to provide documentation that will allow you to get financing based upon your ability to repay.
Right.
Your monthly income, your credit history, the documentation that you provide, truly showing that you have the money to pay. Subprime used to have programs that really didn't have individuals showing proof that they could pay.
Right.
And so what happens is it's a completely different world now because, like I said, you have individuals who can go traditional financing using non-qualified mortgages. And because they're providing this documentation, you can never consider this loan a subprime loan. If anything, now, Jeff, in the upcoming years, they're going to be comparable to a traditional loan. And that's why the subprime mishap or wreckage, that we would say, will never happen again, because that's been taken out of the equation. And you have more people being more knowledgeable about these type of loans and them being able to do their checks. Eventually, you will be able to sell these loans on the secondary market, and you know for a fact they're not going to allow that same situation to happen again.
No, I agree. I think the regulatory aspect of the front end of the loan, which happened after Dodd-Frank in 2008, has really cleaned up a lot of what was and really will prevent what is. I think what's happening in China, that they have flirted with capitalism and they're going to get stung big time. A lot of these companies
absolutely
are going to go under.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Hey, could you shout out a phone number or a website or a Twitter account? People can get a hold of you.
I sure will. You can get a hold of me at charles@malibufunding.biz, at charles@malibufunding.boyisaaczenith, or you can give me a direct call at 702-328-5191. I am always looking forward to hear from anybody and love being on the show as always.
Thank you, Charles, very much for coming on the show. This is Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding, who is the qualified employee out there in Nevada. He works in a lot of different places. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, for listening each and every week. We have a number of ways that you can get in touch with us. We have a number of things that you can do. Main thing is to try to stay in touch with what we do, whether it's through Twitter, at Jeff6493, or whether it's on YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. You can go to themortgagevoice.com. That's our website. You certainly can see us on LinkedIn. We're on Facebook and Instagram, and obviously we're on a number of different podcasts. Daryl, you got those podcasts for us?
I sure do, Jeff. It's Apple Podcast, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and podclips.io.
Excellent. If you go to YouTube, you can see the show. You know, we shoot it for TV, and you can, if you want to either see us or download us, a number of different things that you can do to see what we're doing. The reason that I bring all that up is I don't have all the answers. The people I bring on the show have all the answers. They're the smarter people, great originators, great people in the industries, whether they're lenders or they're money people or they're trades people or they're loan originators. And this gentleman is no exception. George Gonzalez has been on the show several times. I really appreciate him coming on. George, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing excellent, Jeff Barton. How are you, sir?
Excellent. Thank you very much, George. Love you sending that last name to me. I don't even think my particular audience knows me for George Barton, Jeff Barton, rather. They just know me as the guy on the radio who brings on great guests, and that's you. Excellent. Okay, so tell me a little bit about what's happening out in the Inland Empire, what's going on in your business, and where the market might be heading.
Oh, you know, as you can hear, as everybody else is hearing out there, this real estate market is up and down, and it's really crazy right now, as you know. The good news out here in my area, out here in the Inland Empire, Rancho Cucamonga area, what's good about it is they increased the loan amount for the conforming conventional loan,
right,
which will give our borrowers right now, because right here at 548,250 was the current, or currently is the current limit rate for conforming, and you know the interest rates are very good at that rate, up to that rate, and if they go over or they turn into jumbo out here, and it, you know, it's get a little higher on the pricing.
Sure.
So now 2022, and actually a couple of banks already as of this month, we raised it up out here to $625,000.
Oh, that's
now
good.
The max loan amount.
Yeah, that's great.
So.
Yeah, that really brings many more properties that are currently on the market or will be on the market into play for some of these borrowers who need the conforming rate to qualify.
No, that is correct, especially over here in our area where, you know, they were putting 10, 20%, and at some point it still wasn't even putting them in the conforming loan range.
Wow.
However, now, fortunately, it is, so it's opening up more business out here for us lucky guys.
Yeah, you know, the area that you live in is such a change from what it was, I don't know, even 10 years ago. It's a great area. Obviously, the schools are great. The facilities are great. Has it really, have you seen a difference since COVID lately? I mean, are there more businesses open now? Is it less apt to be sort of shut down? How is it happening business-wise out there for your borrowers?
Well, as far as the business is, the business out right now, as you know, it's everything is tech savvy. Everybody's technical, and you know, everybody has internet this, internet that. Even older guys like me and you, Jeff, we even know a little bit about internet.
Yeah, a little bit. And,
but you know, these younger folks out here, these younger lenders and realtors out here running out here, and these companies, everything is now, you know, over on the internet, so they really don't need to show up nowhere. So COVID, for some people, it affected out here, but for the most part, not really. You know, it's still business is still moving.
Okay, so the employment in the area is also strong. Is that right?
That is correct. That is correct. Everything, again, is internet. And out here, on this side, they don't require, it's not mask mandated like it is in L.A. County and
I see.
Some of the areas.
Or, right, right.
So, yeah, so the restaurants here are open, you know, and everything's trying to get back to par out here.
Now, do you see, George, out there that a lot of people, and this is industry by industry, of course, that a lot of businesses are still hiring, looking for employees, or is it specifically in the, I guess, the restaurant business or, you know, that kind of customer service business that people are still looking?
Customer service.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. You hit that on the nose. The customer service is very, very big, and as I don't know if you've noticed, you've seen the pay rate is not bad. You know,
no,
they're getting up there just to get to attracting people by $17, $21, $22, you know, for food courts.
You know
what I mean? It's like, wow, that's not bad.
No, it isn't. And I think a lot of that gets passed on directly to the consumer. I think a lot of the food costs, especially at the restaurants, have gone up because they had to pay their employees more. And that also adds into the inflation. Obviously, we all long for the days where prices were lower, that the employees, you know, that when you went to these places, you got waited on hand and foot. Do you see returning to that, or do you see this more as a continued, I guess, push to make more money for people who really are doing those kind of jobs.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're in the quantity, less quantity. So, you know, charging more, giving out less. You know, and that's how, like you said, they're passing that inflation on
right.
to us poor guys.
That's the American way, isn't it? Yeah, get paid more for doing less work. That sounds like everybody I know wants that job.
I'm telling you, Jeff, they're starting to sound like loan officers. You know? Like,
that's very funny. That's very funny. Okay, tell us some of the products that are hot in the market right now. What are you seeing? You're able to
right now the non-QM, the bank statements, the average deposits for business people who have self-employed. You know, they average 12 months of business deposits, and then boom, that's your income. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they're qualifying as long as you got the down payment, 10%, 20%, depending on what credit score you have. That's it. You qualify just by, you know, as long as you can prove the, you don't have to show your taxes. You don't have to, all you have to do is show the bank statement if you own your business.
Do you see that the credit scores and other qualifying assets make these loans pretty safe?
Yes, because of the equity position that most of these properties have right now, the majority of them, what I'm finding is people that are trying to upgrade and maybe buy a bigger house and
right.
you know, update their house or whatever, but when I'm running their credit and I'm seeing their file, I'm noticing you're not in shape right now. We have to clean up some of their credit debts to get their credit score up, get rid of some debts so that they're not so heavy every month and they can be comfortable purchasing the new house.
Do you think the rates will remain where they are, or where do you think they're heading, I guess, in the next 6 months towards the first of the year?
Man, I hope they stay where they're at, but
right.
as you and I know, inflation, the rates are going to follow the inflation. They can't stay like this forever, you
right.
know, and that's what I'm seeing, which I'm hoping, is there's going to be some more inventory coming out.
Right.
So when they see the more inventory, more demand for the buyers, it's going to turn more into a buyer's market. A buyer's market rather than a seller's market as it is. Then I believe the rates probably will start creeping up a little bit. That's just my thought.
Yeah, no, I think you're in line with a lot of people are thinking. I think the same thing. I think rates are going to creep. I think you're going to get more inventory and become a buyer's market. That would be better because we need more housing for people who obviously want to get into a house.
Correct. And, you know, again, like I said, it's the most of the business, as you're seeing right now for us, is a lot of cash out refis,
yep.
cleaning up credit or helping family, kids, siblings, or whoever it might be, you know, for down payments.
Yeah, I agree. George, shout out a phone number or an email address, something by which somebody can get a hold of you, because I know there's people out there looking for a great loan officer.
My direct number is area code 909-900-9565, and my email directly is georgedlending@gmail.com.
George, thank you very much for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank
appreciate
you. It. Okay, that's George Gonzalez from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks for tuning into the show. I want to tell you right away that we can be heard on a number of different radio stations. One of the radio stations is KCAA and KMET, also in the Inland Empire in Southern California. They are great. Really appreciate the efforts that they make in order to bring us to you. Another station is K-Mine down in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're trying to bring that state more online with bringing more guests for Albuquerque. Appreciate you all listening down there. Also up in Las Vegas, Nevada, we are on KSHIP, KSHP, and that's AM 1400. They do a great job in bringing us to that market. And also K-Tahoe up in the Tahoe region. And again, appreciate the listeners that come to us Saturday up there. Also, we're on a number of different podcasts. Let's hear the podcast list. We got that, Daryl?
I sure do.
Great.
We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and, of course, Podclips.io, which you mentioned.
Absolutely. Podclips.io. New place to find a number of different great podcasters. You got to go there. Check it out. Number of different topics that you can look up. We're in the finance section. There's real estate. There's health. There's beauty. There's sports. There's all kinds of things that you can go there and listen. One-stop shop. It's always an easier place to go. Also, YouTube. Jeff Barton, the Mortgage Voice. We are on YouTube. They love us over there. They email me all the time. Please, more programming. So, original programming, that's where you can go to see us. We shoot this for video as well. LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. Yes, we do all those too. The Mortgage Minute, we do those a number of different times. If you look me up, Jeff Barton, you can ask to be added to what we have as our daily list. We're also a tweeter. Twitter handle is at Jeff6493. It's exhausting, but yes, we do it all. And we are trying to get a little TikTok presence. By the way, do you look at TikTok ever, Daryl?
Never.
Never?
Never.
Okay, so you're the demographic that isn't our thing. However, anybody under 30 years old, really under 25, it's really a medium of choice for where they go.
I could watch it twice and a half for that.
Exactly. I like it. I'll tell you why. There is a energy about it that only comes from people doing silly stuff all hours of the day and not really interested in much more than trying to promote themselves. It's great that way. A lot of dancing, a lot of storytelling, a lot of teasing of what comes next, click on me and you hear part two kind of stuff. I like it because simply it's a new medium by which we can try to reach people who need the information that we're handing out. How will we do it? Hopefully in a humorous way, hopefully very quickly, within 15 to 20 seconds, so that you can't really ignore us. We'll be there very short. That's coming soon. And again, Twitter, at Jeff6493, trying to add in the Twitter content. You know who was great at Twitter?
Well, yeah.
But
they won't let him on anymore.
Yeah, exactly where I was going with that. That Don Trump, I'm telling you.
He's starting his own thing now.
Yeah, he is. And you know what? Good luck to him. It should be free speech and all that. And
yep.
However you like or don't like or think he's the pariah of the world, there are a lot of pariahs out there depending on where you stand and who you listen to and what you believe in. So for me, I just appreciated the fact that a guy could get 80 million people to listen to that nonsense on a daily basis was incredible, don't you think?
Well, that and the other thing is, freedom of speech, how far does it go yelling fire in a full theater, right?
No, I agree with that completely. I just think that the people who are sitting in judgment are no better than anybody who is the ones being, you know what I mean? I mean, we get the FTC or Facebook, this guy Zuckerberg, oh my God, you get him policing things? I don't know. I really don't know, and I don't have an opinion. So if you do, please share it with us because I'll just agree with you too. Excellent. So let's see. What we're going to do is we're going to get through a few topics. I talked earlier in the show about China and Evergrande and what's going on there. There is a great piece on NPR as well as on Bloomberg, two pieces actually. And they talk about what has happened in China with Evergrande and why this particular issue is relevant to us here in the States. Let's just talk about that. Evergrande is a company that was a developer, and it's a one-man shop that got into the capital side, the capitalistic side, when the last premier opened up China to, the ways of the West, i.e., let's make some money, let's continue to grow, and, let's use what we know about capitalism and really dial back socialism in a huge way, government control, that sort of thing. So this guy who started Evergrande blew up into this huge, huge conglomerate that got into many, many, many things. The main thing they do is they borrow money to build apartment units in China. In most of the major cities, Evergrande is one of the largest building developers in China. Now, there are dozens of these companies, and all of them got into borrowing money to build. China, as many people do not know, was an agrarian society not all that long ago. Within 30, 40 years, We've seen China go from an agrarian society to an urban society, and mostly on the backs of developers like Evergrande. So as the population moved, and it's been a striking development, i.e. they have been the largest development in the history of the planet, occurred in China over the last 30, 35 years. And as a result, moving people from the farm to the city. Now, there are inherent problems in all that, right? The transformation of the agrarian society to an urban society means who stays home to take care of, you know, the grandparents and the parents, who basically is taking care of the infrastructure that feeds these billion people or more. All of that is problems. But for Evergrande, they got overextended, obviously. And one of the reasons they got overextended is because the speculation on property in China became, and this is where it's relevant, very similar to the speculation that was done here in the U.S. a decade, 13 years ago, when we had the speculative people going out and borrowing money on a home they had based on the inflated prices and the double-digit increases in value of their properties almost a monthly basis. In the U.S., they would borrow money, go out, put money down on another property, and this was signature loans, right? You didn't have to prove you could repay it. You could just say, hey, I am going to do a stated income. So they would state the income, and there was no checking, and the bond agencies approved the bonds that were derived from these packaging of these mortgage-backed securities, and that ball of wax got rolled up into what was commonly known as at the time, which was the mortgage meltdown, which we now know was the Great Recession. Change the name. I like the new name better. So this is what's happening currently in China. Is you probably have 26 to 52 of these companies, billions and billions of dollars in debt, and are going to default. The question on the show that I heard on NPR was, well, do you think, because, again, to borrow a phrase from the U.S. meltdown, they're too big to fail? The answer was no, China's going to let them fail. But what does that happen when you have billions of dollars which are owed to internal banks within China, external banks in Hong Kong or the U.S. or Europe or other parts of the world, all of this debt defaulting, and we're talking, they haven't even added it up yet. I'm going to guess it's probably close to $1 trillion, and these units that will go unsold, 44% of the units, the real estate sales were down 44% last month, very similar to what happened in the U.S. These are the things that are parallel in those particular scenarios. I want to get to it more. We won't have a chance today, but this is something by which you can follow. Don't listen to me or my word for it, but dragging the world economy into a debt default is an issue that China has to deal with as the rest of the world reels if they've got money invested in that sector. And what happens if those banks default? What happens to the demand that China places on, all the commodities of the world? Let's face it, China is as integral to the world economy as the U.S. and as the European Union. So, things to watch. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks for listening to the show today. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.